celebration. So we had Christmas in July last week, and regardless of anything else, I'm counting it as a win. So that is a good thing. Now today, we are beginning a series on Sabbath. This series on Sabbath will take us through the end of summer, right on through, ironically enough, or maybe appropriately enough, it'll take us right on through Labor Day weekend. So over the next month or so, we're going to be looking at the Sabbath and the idea of Sabbath rest, and we're going to be doing this from several different angles. I know many of us, probably even just hearing the word Sabbath, can probably think back to times when, with maybe our families or just the culture and the communities that we lived in, had certain kind of regulations, either spoken or unspoken, about what was permitted to do on Sundays and things like that. And we'll probably get into some of that later in the series. But this morning we're going to start, as you may have guessed from our scripture reading, we're going to start this series on Sabbath with the Sabbath commandment. Right there, the fourth in the list of God's Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments that were given to Moses as part of that covenant between the Lord and his people. Right there, number four. Right there, before honoring your mother and father. Before not murdering or committing adultery or stealing or bearing false witness or coveting. Before all of those, God says to remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, and don't do any work. And it comes right after the command to have no other gods before the Lord, and to not make or worship any idol, and to not use the Lord's name in vain. That's where it sits in that list of 10. And so clearly, this Sabbath commandment is important. It made the Big Ten, and it made it in the first half. And not only that, when you read through the Ten Commandments, one thing that you'll notice is that this particular one is one of the longest commandments that there are. It comes with more explanation than any of the others, except for maybe the one about idols. And yet, this is the one that I would wager that we probably spend the least amount of time worrying or even thinking about. So as we begin this series, we're going to look at the Sabbath commandment. And what we'll see in the coming weeks is also that there are actually two different Sabbath commandments in the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments, they are written out twice in Scripture. Once here in Exodus chapter 20, and then again, there's a recounting of them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the Ten Commandments in Exodus and Deuteronomy, they are pretty much word for word the exact same commandments, except for the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. The version in Exodus and the version in Deuteronomy, they have very different explanations. Both of them important and profound, but they are different. It's the one commandment that differs between the two. And we'll talk more about the differences later on when we look at the passage from Deuteronomy. But that's why we're going to spend some time talking about the Sabbath commandments before we end up building on that to look at some of the important aspects of Sabbath that continue to show up throughout Scripture. Right, so here in Exodus, here we are. God is making his covenant with his people in the wilderness, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. The first three very clearly have to do with our relationship with the Lord. Don't have any other gods. Don't make or worship idols. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. And then the last six seem to be pretty clearly about our relationships with others and how we treat those around us. But as I said, right there in between is the Sabbath commandment, sort of as a bridge connecting these two sections. It's a bridge between talking about who the Lord is and what type of God the Lord is, and then later what it means to live in the community of God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There's an element of worship here, right? Something holy and special is going on. It's a time that's set apart for holiness. It's a time set apart for worship. But then it goes on. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave or servant, your livestock, or even the alien resident in your towns. So now, in addition to this worship element, now there's a community element as well, isn't there? It's not just about worshiping God, but it's also about our interactions and activities that are going to affect how we relate to others in the community. The command is that one day in seven, there is a day that is set apart, that is different, that has a wholly different purpose. A day, we might say, that is not about practicality or utility. A day that is not about how productive you can manage to be. A day that is not about work and performance and measuring yourself by how quickly or even how competently you can churn through your tasks and your to-do lists. It is a day that is about something else altogether. And so for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to look a little bit at that from the perspective of the reasoning behind this commandment, at least the reasoning in the Exodus version of the commandment. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." Therefore. What a great word. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What is the therefore, therefore, right? Always a good question to ask whenever you come across that word, especially in Scripture. What is the therefore, therefore? Well, here it's there to say that this is why there is a Sabbath. This is the reason why there is a day of rest and worship. So what is that reason? Did you catch it? What is it? God rested. God rested. Right. Yeah, it's looking all the way back to creation, all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, all the way back to those days of creation, all the way back to those days when God was at work creating. The first day, creating light and separating light from the darkness. The second day, God at work separating out the sky. The third day, God at work with the separating the dry land from the waters and creating the vegetation of the land. The fourth day, at work creating sun, moon, and stars. The fifth day, at work creating the creatures of the skies and the seas. And the sixth day, God at work creating the creatures of the land. And then finally, culminating in creating us. And man and woman created in God's image, creating humanity. And then what happened? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." That seventh day, God rested. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it, hallowed it, made it holy. Therefore, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Therefore, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave or servant, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns. Therefore. All right, so we, when we look back, when this commandment calls us back to creation, we see that we are actually given the command to work. Right? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But then also a command to then rest, to cease from working. Because that is, quite simply, that is the rhythm that God has built into creation itself. It is a part of God's design because it's a part of God's creating. And we see this when we look around at what God has made, right? We see this in nature, that there are times when all the various plants are blooming and producing fruit, and then there are times when they aren't. And we see it in ourselves too, right? If you have little ones, or you remember when little ones, what happened if they did not get their nap in the morning and the afternoon, right? The day didn't always go so well, right? And we see it in ourselves too. I don't care how motivated you are. I don't care how strong-willed or determined you are. At some point, you will fall asleep, right? At some point, your body will say, that's it. I'm done. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow. We may push it, and we may limit it, and we may set alarm clocks to wake us up early, but we can't get rid of it altogether. It's built into who we are, this idea of rest. And so part of what's going on here is that this is who God created us to be, and we are who we are because we are made in the image of the one who rested. And indeed, all creation, like any good work of art, it bears the imprint in some way, shape, or form. It bears the imprint of the artist. And so we are called to find times of rest because our God rests. And we are made to reflect the Lord's image. That's who we are. There's a story. There's a story of a couple of pastors that are talking about their work. And one of them says to the other, well, the devil never takes a day off, and so neither do I, right? And isn't that how we think of ministry sometimes, right? But the other wiser pastor responds and just says, you know, I think you need a better role model. We are called to imitate God, the one who rests, right? We set apart time to rest because God set apart time to rest. And that's whose image we bear. But there's something else here too. There's something else at work when the Sabbath commandment calls us back to creation, back to that rhythm of God's working and then resting. There are three times when you read it. There are three times in that first creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, in those days of creation, there are three times that God blesses something. Three times where Scripture specifically says God blessed as a part of creating. On day 5, God blesses the creatures of the air and water. He blesses them and tells them to be fruitful and multiply. He blesses them and tells them to, in their own way, continue the work of creation. Then on the 6th day, God blesses humankind. Again, the Lord blesses and says, be fruitful and multiply and then also have dominion and cultivate this world. He blesses humanity and says, bear my image in the world. Join in the work of creating and ordering and sustaining. But then, the third time God blesses, it's on the 7th day. God rested from all the work he had done. So it says, God blesses the 7th day and hallowed it, made it holy, set it apart, consecrated it. It is blessed precisely because that's the day God rested and did not do the work. Both work and rest are blessed by God, but it's only that 7th day that says God not only blesses it, but hallows it, sets it apart as a unique day, a unique time. Because that is the day that God just simply enjoys and rests in what has been created. And let me suggest that that is something that we desperately, desperately need. A day to remember that you are not defined by your output, by your productivity. A day to remember that your value comes not from what you do or what you're able to get done, It's simply from the fact that God has created you and called it good, and even very good. And that you are a part of the creation that God created and then simply enjoys and rests in. A day to remember that all those distinctions and walls that we make and build about value and worth, that in God, they simply disappear. A day to remember that we are creatures. Creatures with bodies and emotions and all that comes with it that need tending and looking after and rest from it all. The command to rest and worship. This command to just stop. To just stop for a moment, for a period of time, maybe for a whole day. Not because all the work is finally done. Not because the cupboard with all the Tupperware bowls and tops is finally organized so you can find and match everything up just right. Not because all the laundry is finally put away and the furniture dusted and all the letters and notes you've been meaning to get to and get in the mail are all done and the weeds are finally all taken care of. Hypothetically, not about my life at all. That's just hypothetical examples, right? It doesn't wait for all of that to be done. Sabbath doesn't wait for any of that. Because it is simply a command to just stop. A command to have life interrupted, ready or not. To stop in the middle of all of that and to just remember. To remember God, to remember what God has called good, and that it is a dangerous thing to only value what is productive. That it is a dangerous thing to only assign worth to something because of its utility. Whether that something is time, or resources, or a fellow creature of God. Behind this command for Sabbath is a command, an invitation to value something, not because we can find a way to use it for a particular end, but simply because God has created it and called it good. As many of you know, my wife Rachel is an artist. She doesn't just create art. But she also spends a lot of time thinking very deeply and profoundly about what it means to create, what it means to be an artist, what it means to have that vocation, that calling. Part of that is she ends up wrestling with what does it mean to spend so much time and energy and even resources creating something that doesn't always put much food on the table. That's not out there alleviating hunger or disease or homelessness or anything like that. Something that isn't being used to just get people in the door so you can preach at them. Something that doesn't have any sort of, quote, usefulness like those sorts of things. But here's the thing. We need art. We need things like that. We need times and places and instances and objects that are to be enjoyed and valued simply because they exist, simply because they were created with care by someone to be enjoyed and reflected on and all of that. We need things in our life that are valuable simply because they were created and brought into this world. Because when we lose that, when we lose the ability to rest in and to enjoy and to value something outside of whatever utility it may have, outside of its ability to be a means to some other end, it is a very small step, a very small step to seeing everything, to seeing all of creation through that lens, of assigning worth and value only in proportion to whatever kind of utility and productivity it has, and to then therefore disregard whatever doesn't have that or have enough of it. That's why Sabbath is important. That's why we need a day or at least a time to consistently show up and interrupt everything else, and that calls us back to God, to the God who simply rested and enjoyed creation, not because it was another day or time to be productive and get more done, but precisely because it is not. To learn to value, to make a habit of valuing something for no other reason than God has declared that it is good and it therefore has value. And if we forget, if we don't think that that's of profound importance, right up there with those other commandments, ask yourself, what do you do with someone who can no longer be a quote-unquote productive member of society? What do you do with a child that you know will grow up and for whatever reason will be dependent on and use more of society's resources than they will produce? What do you do? What do you do with someone who doesn't have the particular marketable skills or credentials that you may be looking for, but simply shows up because they are in need? What do you do with an elderly parent who has Alzheimer's? What do you do if we forget or we don't learn to value something or someone simply because God has declared it good? And so do you see not just the danger and this thing that Sabbath stands against, but do you also see the grace here in this thing called Sabbath? Do you see our need to have our inclinations and our habits of what matters and doesn't matter shattered? Do you see the breath of fresh air that it is to just take some time and rest in and enjoy the fact that you are a creation of God? And from the beginning, God has spoken a word of blessing on you and then for you. Not for any reason other than the fact that you and everyone around you and everyone the world over are all here. And indeed, the world itself and all of creation is here simply because God said so. And so Sabbath is a time to reflect, to remember, to have our inclinations and our habits changed. And it is therefore a time to worship God, to rejoice in God, to rest in God simply because the Lord is. And there is beauty and joy in what He has created, simply because the Lord created it and called it good. I know most of us come to church. We come to church for many different reasons. And if you're like most people, when we come, we hope to learn something or to, quote, get something out of the service, right? Or maybe even to hear, I don't know, maybe even to hear a good sermon that gives us new insight or even helpful hints at the Christian life. But listen, if none of that happened, but if God was still worshiped and glorified, that time would have been holy and deeply, profoundly good. A time to just rest in the goodness of God and to let God's goodness recreate us in His image. That's what worship does. So all this about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy, when you get down to it, what does it look like? What does that look like? What does it look like for how we go about our Saturday or our Sunday, whichever? Or whatever day or time during the week we want to set apart? It might mean, at least for now, to just spend some time thinking through what sort of things you can take regular time to rest from. And that in resting from them, finding that you are better able to enjoy God and God's creation, and even learn to trust God to be God in that time. What are the things, the work, or the tasks, or whatever that you know get in the way of that? That get in the way of just setting apart time to enjoy God for his own sake, and just marveling at the fact of God's good creation, good for no other reason than the Lord has declared it so. What are the things that get in the way of that? And that you can maybe start to make a regular habit of taking a Sabbath from, a habit of putting off to the side for one afternoon, or a morning, or even a full day each week. Maybe we begin by just starting to think about that. And then we'll touch on those sorts of questions a bit more as we go on in the next month or so. But for now, for today, let me just end with this. That whatever it looks like, whatever it looks like for you and for your life, Sabbath, this command to have a time set apart, a time for rest, a time for worship, it is a command, yes. But it is not something to just be begrudgingly received. But rather, it is something, it is a gift that restores us, that recreates us. It is part of the rhythm of creation, and it calls us back to remember who we are and who we are meant to be. It is something to be received, not because everything else is finally done and it's a reward that you finally earned, but rather because it is a gift. Family, it is a gift, whether we're ready for it or not. Precisely because, like all gifts of grace, we are never ready for it. We are never ready for it. There will always be more to do. But we are always, always in need of it. That is the gift of grace in this Sabbath commandment. However you observe it, that is the gift of grace that God has for you in taking time to rest and to just celebrate God's goodness and remember who you are. And what world you are a part of. The world that God created and God called good, and God rested in that goodness. That is grace. That is the grace you are called into. May we be a people who rest in God's goodness and in his grace. Let's pray. Lord, for this gift that is challenging to us, for this gift that is hard for us, for this gift that pushes back on how we so often move and operate and live in this world, Lord, we give you thanks. Give us grace to find the strength and even the courage to find time set apart to just rest. To rest in you, to rest in your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who rests, and you have created us in your image, and you have called it good. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.